If you're someone that has a really busy life, but you still want to do photography among other things, I think today's episode is going to be so incredibly helpful for you to listen to. What is up, photographers? It is no secret that today we are all living incredibly busy lives, doing a variety of things, and not all of us are out there doing photography full-time. A lot of us might just want to be doing it as a hobby. Now, the question and what we're going to be talking about in today's episode is how you can make more time for photography, or how you can make time for photography at all in the midst of a busy schedule, whether you've got a spouse, a kids, family, parents to take care of, a job, a variety of different things. No matter what you've got going on, there is certain ways, there's tips and tricks that you can use in order to kind of make the most out of your photography time. And in addition to making the most out of your photography time, how you can also still strive to get those really portfolio worthy images. It can be really discouraging looking online at the portfolio of some photographers, seeing how great their work is, and knowing that simply because they have more time than you, they're just going to get better images. So it's nice to have a few tips and tricks in the bag that you can use in order to better get those good images on a limited time, on a limited budget, whatever it may be. This episode is going to talk about it all. In today's episode, I'm talking with Miles Morgan, an excellent photographer, all around just a great dude. And Miles works full time in the airline industry, and he makes an effort to make time for photography, even leading some workshops and doing photography kind of as a little side hustle. His work is certainly good enough that he could be a professional photographer if he wanted, but he chooses to continue to work in the airline industry and leave photography as his side hobby, which enriches his life. And I can't say I blame him for it. Really respect what Miles does. I love his work. Really excited to bring you guys the conversation today that I had with Miles Morgan. Here it is, everybody. All right, Miles Morgan, really excited to welcome you to the podcast. Really stoked to have you on today just to talk a little bit about finding some time for photography in a busy schedule. Will you start by telling us about yourself for our viewers that are listeners, I should say, that may not already know who you are?
Yeah, thanks, Austin. So ironically, to your listeners, my apologies for being tardy to this meeting, but I did have a little work crisis this morning that I had to manage, which is a lot of my day-to-day world at this point. But my name is Miles Morgan. I am I'm actually an airline pilot, and I currently work as the director of training for a large major airline in the U.S. And that is my full-time job. I've been doing landscape photography for about 13 years now as a hobby. And for a while there, when I was flying the line, I was doing quite a bit of it. But at this point in life, things have gotten a little busy. I've got a young daughter, and managing that and a full-time kind of a management job. So not a whole lot of time for photography, but I'm still looking for ways to get out and go shoot. I live in Denver, Colorado now. I was in Portland, Oregon for 25 years or so. So I know the Pacific Northwest really well, but really excited about Denver and the possibilities when I do get out to do some photography that are within striking distance from here, because it's a whole new world at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing, is it fair to say that you are completely happy just leaving photography as a hobby, or is it something that you are wanting to pursue full time?
No, you know, it's funny. Photography for me has kind of morphed. I took it really seriously for a while, maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago. I was really intently interested in it, really enjoyed teaching workshops and kind of working to get my my pictures out there to be seen and trying to make a little business out of it. It was never going to be my full-time income replacement. I was never going to leave my flying job, but it was going to be a good side career. And at this point, I'm really discovering that I'm happiest when I'm doing it for fun. And I don't really have the competitive spirit to try to be in the space and to devote the time that you really need if you're going to make this a career to devote to that. You really have to kind of go all in. I think, as you know, and some of my friends know who do this full time, I'm finding that this is my therapy. This is my opportunity to have some time to myself, to explore the creative side of my life. And most importantly to me is that an opportunity to spend some time with my friends. I've made a lot of friends through photography, and being able to go out and shoot with them is one of the great joys of my life. So I don't think that I will ever pursue it as a career, even after I retire from the airlines. I think it's going to be just something that I enjoy, and I don't make a job.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great answer. I figured that you were in that boat. For our listeners here that haven't seen your work before, Miles is certainly good enough that he could pursue it full time if he wanted. But I just wanted to clarify that, because I know there is a lot of people that would like to do it full time, but maybe they're not good enough or don't have the time coming. You definitely are good enough. So that's just something I wanted to clarify. And that totally makes sense. I think there's probably a lot of listeners out there too that also are in the same boat as you, that it's fun for them, and taking it on full time definitely brings a little bit more stress, and just being able to do it part time allows you to hang out with your friends, like you said, and kind of get away from the daily stressors of life. So that's a great answer. I was wondering, what are some of the commitments that you have outside of photography that you have to prioritize? Since I did want to talk a little bit, like we had mentioned, about finding time for photography in a busy schedule. So what commitments do you have outside of photography?
Yeah, thanks, Austin. And you're way overly kind about my work. It's you know, 5 years ago, I was fairly relevant, maybe. And now I just see the level of talent that you and a lot of the younger photographers bring. And I think, well, there's no way I'm keeping up with that. But it's great. I mean, it's really good to see you guys out there, you know, with the passion and kind of moving the medium forward, kind of creating new space in it and finding ways to make it a viable business, because that's hard to do. You've got to not only be a good photographer, but you've got to be a good salesperson. You've got to be a good marketer. You've got to be, a good business person. And so the parallel that I run in my current life is, you know, I was as a pilot for 28 years now. I got really good at my craft. I mean, I'm pretty good at flying airplanes, and I've done it for a long time. But a couple of years ago, I decided, well, I wanted to see if there was an opportunity for me to do something a little bit more involved. So I got into management. I started out managing, our airline has 737s, and I started out managing the line check pilot program for 737 fleet. And that is, line check pilots are pilots that take folks that finish their training in the simulators, and they go out and fly the airplanes for our company. It's too expensive to do that, you know, for training. So the first time that pilots fly the actual airplane is in a revenue flight with paying customers on board. So line check pilots take those folks out for the first couple trips. They're specially trained to do that. And I enjoyed doing that. But then I managed that group, and then I've managed the entire 737 fleet training. And now I manage all the fleets at our airline. We have five of them. And I manage the training program. So everything from the time we hire a pilot to the time they get out there and they're producing revenue for the company, and then when they come back every 9 months for their annual recurrent training, I manage all that. So it's a little bit like somebody in photography that takes it from a hobby and makes it a career, because I have no idea how to order a simulator. I have no idea what the business case for that looks like. When I came into this role, I had no idea how to develop or manage a training curriculum or change it or look for relevant safety information in the industry that then I need to bring into our training program and provide best practices to make sure that we're training our pilots to be the best in the world. And so the learning curve on that is completely vertical, and that makes the job really challenging. It's definitely not a 40-hour a week job. It's constant. I mean, it's Sunday morning, and I've spent the entire morning managing a situation that came up overnight. But I had to learn all of this from zero, and I've had some great mentors, which really helps. And that's also relevant to photography. But a lot of it is just getting in there and learning as you go, and figuring things out on your own, and trying to do that in a space where you're not making mistakes. And I really see the parallel in photography, because I think a lot of photographers that make this their business They're good photographers and they know how to take pictures and they've learned that craft. And then you want to make it a business and you basically have to start over in the learning process. And you've got to become a business person. You've got to become an expert marketer. And to learn that skill takes more dedication. But I find it really interesting. And so for your listeners that are thinking about making this a career, I think there's probably a takeaway there, which is you have to have not only a passion for photography, but you have to have a passion to learn the business side of things. That has to be interesting.
Absolutely.
To be unhappy. So that's the biggest, you know, the biggest challenge in my life right now. And then I've got a 4-year-old daughter who, you know, any waking minute that I'm not at work, I'm effectively trying to, you know, be a dad and keep that relationship with my family, front and center, which is, you know, also it's something that you have to learn as you go, because nobody taught me how to take care of a 4-year-old at my, advanced age. So, those are my major commitments. And pretty much 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Yep. Absolutely. You mentioned a little bit about your family. Obviously, your family's grown over the years and your photography hobby, I'm certain, has changed. What are some ways that you've been able to still kind of scratch your photography itch while still like remaining an active part of the life of your family and work and everything like that? Have you been able to still scratch that photography itch while adding this family and this job and all this on top of what you used to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I would say that it's really targeted. You know, I have to be more deliberate about when and where I'm going to go do photography. So I'll give you an example. The last couple of years I've gone storm chasing, which is coming up here in 2 weeks. I'm going to head out and do that with our group that we photograph with. So Ryan Dyer and I, Ryan's one of my best friends. Steve Saviano is our forecaster. And we are going to be out there doing our stuff. It's so fun for me because I get to one go chase storms, which is really exciting. It's really enjoyable for me, but most importantly, I get to be out with people that I care about, and that is the best part of it for me. We've got a company that Steve owns called Skyscape Photo Tours, and we'll be out there wherever the storms are. So I target, you know, once or twice a year, a trip. So this will be a 7-day trip. And by doing that, I've kind of managed the expectations of my family. It's a lot less, easy to find good conditions, because when I was just doing the pilot thing and I didn't have a family, if the weather looked good and I was off, I would just go shoot wherever it was. You know, if I lived in the Northwest and, the coast looks great. Okay. I'm going to go shoot because the conditions are good. Well, when you do a tour or you only have a week, a year, 2 weeks a year to go shoot, you know, so I'll do the same thing in the fall. I'll kind of find a long weekend that I can go do some fall color in Colorado. Well, you're sort of at the mercy of the weather at that point. So then you've got to make the best of it. And the benefit that I have at this point, having done this for quite a while, is it almost doesn't matter if I get a picture or not, right? So in the past, I would be really concerned about every time I go out, if I didn't get a picture, I would be really bitter. I didn't get a good image, and it would really get frustrating. But at this point, I don't feel any pressure to make a good picture anymore. So if it doesn't come together, that's okay. I was out there. I had a good time with my friends. I got to, as you said, scratch my photography itch and just be out there in the field. The other important aspect to that, I think, is you, like anything, you really need to practice this craft in order to be good at it. And you need to make sure that your eye stays trained. And that's really hard to do if you're not doing photography. So the way that I do it is I still try to make time during the day to do some active viewing of some of my favorite photographers. So I'll go look at their new work and I'll take a look at the picture. And I'm not just looking at it thinking, oh, that's a cool shot. I'm thinking, wow, that's a striking image. What about it makes that appealing to me, and how do I then bring that into my own photography when I do get a chance to go out and shoot next?
Yeah, that's great.
Having that active viewing as kind of, that's my, That's my practice. That's my, you know, my opportunity to stay engaged. And then when I go out there, I also try really hard not to make things too complicated. I keep the basics, you know, in mind of composition, of light, of what makes an interesting picture. And I don't try to get too tricky, which means for me, I focus much more on grand landscapes, which is, I mean, obviously for storm chasing, that's kind of a big thing anyway, but the intimate photography, I am not terribly good at, and I don't have time to get good at it right now. So I tend to focus on sort of grand scenes that I'm more comfortable with and more familiar with.
Yeah, that's super great. I do want to cycle back in a second here and talk about the Skyscape photo tours. But the next thing that I did want to mention was, if you had any advice for our listeners out there that maybe they're like you or similar to you, they're working that Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, which I understand that you're probably doing more than that, but those people that are working that normal job, what do you have any advice for people to get the most bang for their buck on photo trips, both talking about your time as well as potentially your money, if you have any tips for that as well?
Yeah, that's a really good question as well. So if you're going to invest in a photo tour, really the most important thing is to, one, figure out what it is that you want to shoot. What is it that you're passionate about? What is it that makes you happy shooting? Is there a specific part of the, you know, of the world that you want to go see? Is there a specific event, whether it's, I mean, I've done workshops with Bruce Amore, teaching people to shoot the volcano. Well, the volcano is not active right now in Hawaii, so that's out. But do you like the aurora? Are you interested in seeing the northern lights? Okay, well, then I've taught with workshops in Norway. And with Tony Spencer, who by the way is an incredible photographer. But so I would say figuring out what it is that you're passionate about, what it is that you want to explore, what type of photography, and then you just go out there and find who the people are that make the images that you like. You know, who are the people that have a style that you like? You've got you know, you got the Ryan Dyers of the world who are kind of a painterly style. You've got David Thompson, who is, you know, just become one of the best sort of real processors that I know. You know, he really just takes images and he knows how to compose them and then bring out enhance the images in a natural way, but to really bring out their inner beauty. Or are you looking for wildlife photography? You go find the best wildlife photographer you can. But then there's a secondary piece to that. And not only do you have to like what they shoot so that you can learn from it, but you have to find somebody that you're comfortable spending time with. You have to find somebody that you're going to enjoy the experience and that is a good teacher. And I would get reviews, you know, from people that have gone on those trips. I would interview the folks that you want to maybe take a trip with, get to know if your personalities are going to be a good fit. What are your expectations for the trip? What are they going to teach you? If you're going to invest the time and the money, and then you also want to find people that are really familiar with, you know, with the space and that you're trying to go, because a lot of things happen at certain times of year. You know, storm chasing is going to mostly be in the spring. You're going to have autumn color in various parts of the country are going to be at different weeks to try to hit peak. You're never going to be able to predict whether you're going to get it right or not, because it's going to change year to year, but you can at least find somebody that knows enough to get you close and to have the best chance to maximize your photography. I mean, you got Mark Adams out there that takes trips all over the world. You know, he's going to find you. He's going to put in the effort to find you the actual best conditions that are there and available for the week that you're there. So I would really take my time and I would find somebody that I connect with that I think would be a good fit for me. And then, you know, take a tour that I find interesting and relevant.
I want to take a break from today's episode and talk about a really cool opportunity if you are a beginner or intermediate photographer that is really serious about taking better photos and getting better at photography. Now, usually about 4 to 6 times a year, I teach in-person workshops around the Western United States centered around helping you become a better photographer. Now, my workshops are kept to just 5 people, which means that you will get plenty of one-on-one attention. So regardless of your skill level, whether you just picked up your first camera or whether you've been shooting for 15 years, I promise you, you're going to get so much out of it. I'm going to cater the class directly to you. Best of all, after the workshop, I'm going to add you to my alumni group on Facebook where you can get literally weekly image feedback. We can connect at all times. When the workshop is over, it's not done. I'm still going to be your mentor. I'm going to be there to help you and become better at photography. Now, like I said, if you're serious about becoming better at photography, don't wait any longer. Register for one of my workshops this year. You can visit austinjamesjackson.com/workshops. That link will be down below in the podcast description that you can click on as well. I really can't wait to see you guys out there. One thing I was wondering as I look through your portfolio, for someone that does photography as a hobby on the side, you have an awful lot of images where the light is just perfect. And of course, for the photographers that are out there doing this every single day of the week, it's a lot easier to get those great conditions. How are you getting such great conditions in the field? Does it come down to you're predicting them? What advice do you have for someone that wants to get those great photos, but they don't have unlimited time to be out in the field every single day? Do you have any advice for somebody like that?
Yeah, it's, you've got to learn to read the weather and to figure out, you know, what is going to make for good conditions. And that's for kind of more local photography. So if you, I had the benefit of having a lot of time off before I started this management gig a couple of years ago. And I had the benefit of being able to travel anywhere in the world I wanted to for free. So I would start to look around and I'd get interested in an area. And then I would keep an eye on it. And what's the best time of year for that to happen? And then I would really target it and say, okay, it was a pretty rare trip that I would go out and just say, all right, well, I'm going to go to the San Juan Mountains. And then, okay, well, when do the wildflowers bloom? All right, well, that's a good time to go. And then, well, there's typically thunderstorms that time of year. And then putting yourself in position early and being there for a long time, being patient so that you are, you know, as the light changes, you're there capturing the entire day. And the other thing that I found to be the most relevant and helpful is when I get to a place where I'm fairly new and I'm scouting a scene, I really try to find compositions in all four directions, if it's possible. It's not always possible.
Yep, that's great advice.
Find compositions in all four directions, and almost assuredly, the light, if it's going to go off, it's going to go off in one direction. And to have an idea before it happens of, okay, look, here I am. I was planning on this shot being to the west, but I found something good to the east and all of a sudden the light's going off behind me. And then pivoting to that composition so that I'm taking advantage of the light. The light then becomes the primary focus. That really is helpful. It's not always possible, but it's certainly helpful to try to find an area that you can kind of pivot in a lot of different directions and get it that way. But I will tell you, Austin, you know, as of late, there are not a lot of, I had pretty good luck the last couple of years in storm chasing, but only because Steve's a really good forecaster. And so he gets us to places where the weather's going to be good. And the weather's usually good, you know, later in the day when the storms kind of kick off. So it's you're going to get good light that way. But I have not made a lot of good images lately. And that's kind of that part of if you're going to be somebody that wants to be serious about photography, but you don't have a lot of time to do it, you're going to have to be patient because there's going to be plenty of times when you're just, you know, you're going when you can go and the light might not be good and not trying to force an image. If it's there, it's there. And if it's not, it's not. And there's plenty of times when I go out and shoot at this stage where I come home with nothing. And that just has to be okay. It was harder earlier on, but I also had a lot more time. But now for me to sort of keep an image, it has to be decent because I've got enough, I've got, you know, 300-400 pictures out there that are fine, that I don't feel like I need to make a picture every time I go out.
Yeah, that's great. And you mentioned Steve, who I know is the forecaster for you guys at Skyscape Photo Tours, which, by the way, for any of our listeners, if you're wanting to capture those really stormy Midwest skies, I think there's probably not a better group people to go with than Steve, Bruce, Ryan, and Miles. We'll definitely put a link down below to their website. I did also want to talk about how much do you think, for you personally, I know a lot of different photographers would have a different answer for this, but how much can you compensate poor shooting conditions with good photo editing? And at what point do you think photographers should just get rid of an image as opposed to really trying to polish it and make it good and force it too much. If that makes sense.
Well, the first thing I have to address is you mentioned, Skyscape, and you are dead on about Steve and Bruce being amazing. Ryan, we tolerate. I mean, he really should pay people to go out with him just to get up with him for a week. But it's actually interesting because he is the guy that has taught me about the exact topic that you've asked about, which is, hey,
I figured.
Yeah. When do you give up? When do you, when is the light not good enough? Or when can you recover some things in post-processing? And one of Ryan's things, if you look at his website, at Ryan Dyer, but he has a bunch of tutorials on Photoshop, and in there it's about shaping light and sometimes kind of creating light. And it's very interesting. Now there are going to be purists out there that will, head to the nearest restroom to relieve themselves of the lunch. Yeah, this is not for everybody. And then you've got AI now, which is insane to me that you can just create, you don't even need the camera anymore, right? You just create your own image.
But yeah,
I'm not certainly advocating for that. I don't, to me, that's just not the kind of art that I want to do. But what I do find fun is when you take an image and you might have you usually have to have a little bit of a light source. You have to have some light there, but you can really, through some Photoshop techniques, you can really accentuate the light, and shape it into the land, really kind of make it more dramatic. And I love that. To me, that's just as much a part of the creative process as the actual being out there in the field is, hey, what can I do with this image and take, oh, there's a little light poking through. Well, now I can kind of build in some color and some light in the landscape in a certain spot that would be, that really kind of helps to accentuate the image. And I find that creative process to be fun, which brings up the point, and we're never going to settle this argument. There will always be sides of this, of how much editing is too much. And, I feel like the people that are shooting for Nat Geo or they're entering photo contests where they, you need to disclose those things. There's rules about what you can and can't do. But what I do is not photojournalism. I'm not passing off my pictures as, scientific evidence of the truth of what actually occurred. For me, this is the way I like to express myself. And so I enjoy the techniques that Ryan teaches of kind of helping shape light and kind of accentuating what I have. But you typically have to have something. I mean, there are some people that can actually create it from nothing. I am not that talented in Photoshop. But and that is actually, to your earlier question, what do you do if you're out there and you don't get a lot of time and you don't get the best light? Well, you learn Photoshop. And you learn, if you want to, you certainly don't have to, but you can learn to play with Photoshop in your time when you get back into the computer and see what you can create light-wise and really accentuate stuff. And there's plenty of tutorials out there. I think Ryan's the best personally, but I'm kind of biased, that will help you in that journey to sort of take your photos and make them look their best. But again, that's not going to be for everybody, and that's totally fine. I don't shoot for anybody but me. So I'm totally honest about, about what I do in Photoshop. I'm not trying to trick anybody. This is just what I enjoy. And I think as long as you're upfront about it, I think everything that is on the table is okay.
Absolutely. Great answer. And for people that don't know or haven't seen Miles or Ryan's work, they've got quite the fun dynamic on Instagram, kind of poking fun at each other. And I would agree with you that some of Ryan's tutorials are incredible, and some of the shaping the light and the something for nothing, and those tutorials are some of the best on the market. I watched a lot of tutorials, and I think that those are some of the most helpful if you want to learn kind of how to create or shape light on maybe images that were shot subpar in the field. In addition to kind of Ryan's tutorials, is there any other learning resource that you found helpful over the years to learn photography with a busy schedule, learning resources that don't take hours and hours of time or a course or anything like that?
It really comes down to I've purchased a lot of tutorials in my life from David Thompson, from Ryan, from Alex Noriega. I've purchased a photo series from Ian Plant, which has some great compositional stuff in there. Mark Adamus has put out some stuff that I find really interesting, and I've really enjoyed that. It's been a great educational piece. There, you know, you're dedicating an hour or two, and then a lot of practice to take those techniques. Those are super helpful. I think if there's a style that you like and you want to emulate, a lot of those folks like David Thompson, and I don't know if Ryan still does, but they offer kind of one-on-one Skype sessions as well. So a little bit more tailored. So you do an hour with those folks. And to me, that's a really good way to sort of fine tune the things that you're interested in learning about. But I got my start in landscape photography doing a workshop. And it doesn't need to be a full week commitment to Norway. It can be, you know, I lived in the Northwest. I found a couple of Northwest photographers, Adrian Klein and Kevin McNeil, who put on, you know, 3-day, 4-day Northwest workshops. And that was the hook for me.
As in you attended the workshops.
I attended the workshops. Okay. I didn't know what an F-stop was. And I brought my camera in and I just got hooked by the passion of it all and kind of being out there and seeing some natural places and natural beauty that I'd lived there for a long time in the Northwest. And I never even bothered to go see because outside of photography, most people don't go out to explore the areas of nature that we as photographers go to look at. And so that was it for me. So I highly recommend if you're kind of just thinking about whether to get into it or not, or even a different genre of photography, just taking a quick couple day seminar or photo tour that's in your local area and seeing if it's the right fit for you, finding something you're passionate about.
Yeah. And that's nice. Cause like you had talked about earlier, finding that instructor that really you're going to be able to hang out with, someone that you're going to be able to learn a lot from, because in just a short weekend or however long your workshop is, your skills are going to increase exponentially more than they could any other way, because you're literally going to be working with someone that's been in your shoes at some point in time. So great advice. Last question that I do want to ask here that I ask everyone is, if you have one landscape photography tip to help the listeners become better photographers, what would it be? It doesn't have to be related to anything in today's episode, just one general landscape photography tip if you want to become better at photography.
Oh, that's a good one. For me, it is, you know, just be curious. You've got to be interested in it. And if you're interested in it, the rest of it will fall into place. And just, you can't ever just find yourself satisfied. One of the things that I think separates the good photographers and the great photographers from folks that never really sort of take that next step is they're interested, they're excited about photography. They'll go out, they'll get a camera, they'll maybe take a workshop, and they'll go out and take a couple pictures, and then they'll bring them into the computer with some kind of limited editing skills. And then they're satisfied and they're happy. And that's totally fine. If that makes you happy, that's the point of this, right? If it's not your career, the point is to enjoy this. But if you want to get really good, you've got to be curious. You've got to be a little bit self-critical. You've got to say, okay, well, how do I get better? What are the techniques that I need to learn? What do I do to get better? How do I emulate some of these people that I admire and their work that I admire? And you've got to keep pushing forward.
Gotta stay hungry.
I am the most self-critical person of my, even if I take a picture that I like, you know, 6 weeks later, when I go back and look at it, I'm over it. as far as I'm concerned, it's just done. And then I'm on to the next because I'm never really satisfied. I think that helps quite a bit. You gotta be careful because then there's the mental game of that. Are you never satisfied with anything in your life? But I would say that just being curious, keep the education piece going, keep trying to figure out how you can get better, will be the key to success if you want to be relevant in the game.
Absolutely. And with anything in life, you just always staying hungry. That's how you're going to get better. And always just doing what you can in order to keep getting better. So lastly, why don't you tell us where can we see more of your work? Any of the workshops that you do other than Skyscape, any tutorials, anything? I'll link all of it down below, but tell us where we can find that if people are interested in learning from you.
Yeah, thanks, Austin. I don't have a lot on the docket. I've got, you know, Skyscape are the only tours that I do right now. And I only do one a year. I told Steve, I'm like, I just can't, at this point in my life, I can't commit to more than that. I won't be doing this management gig forever. The burnout rate's going to be too challenging, and my kid won't be four forever. So down the road, I'll probably get back into it a little bit more heavy handed in terms of being out there and being part of tours. But, and I barely post. I mean, I've got my website, and I've got Instagram. I still occasionally will post on Instagram. But I'm kind of a worthless guest for you, Austin. I'm sorry. I occasionally will throw every year when I do get out there, I'll take the best couple of pictures and I'll put it up on my website. But I'm thrilled to be out there when I can and try to get a couple new images to post, and I'll put those up on Instagram as well when I get them.
All right. Yeah. We'll link all that down below. And of course I'll link, Miles' website as well. Some fantastic stuff on there if you're looking for some inspiration. And, thank you so much for being with us today, Miles. I know you have a busy schedule as we talked about in today's episode, but thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it. I know there was quite a few of listeners, that have sent in. I asked a lot of my listeners, who should I have on the podcast? And you were a name that frequently came up. So really stoked that you were able to be here today.
Thanks for having me, Austin, and really appreciate it. I've enjoyed watching your progress and your growth in the space, and I know you're going to continue to do great things. And to the listeners out there, I hope that you go out and enjoy yourself. And as long as you don't run into Ryan Dyer out in the field, you'll have a good time.
Well, as you guys can see, Miles Morgan is just a great dude with a lot of great advice for you guys out there. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, I know not all of you guys, and probably not most of you guys, are professional photographers. Most of you are probably going into the office Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and you're just trying to find some spare time for photography on the side. And amongst photography, you've got other things like a family, a job, whatever it may be. You guys have got a lot going on. I know that. I know you can't always be out in the field. And so I really hope today's episode was helpful for those of you who don't just have an unlimited budget and an unlimited amount of time you can spend on photography. As always, really appreciate you guys listening to the Learn Landscape Photography podcast. And hey, if you've been here for a few episodes and you're really liking the podcast, I would be forever grateful, and I would appreciate it just so incredibly much if you guys could go and leave me a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave a review. Let me know what you guys think of the podcast. If you have any feedback, I'd love to hear it. I'm always trying to create a podcast and content that is useful and helpful for you guys. I really want to help you guys become better photographers in the least amount of time possible with the most juicy information out there. I think this podcast was a really good one, and I hope it's helpful for you guys. Thank you so much for listening to the Learn Landscape Photography podcast. We'll see you guys next time. This is Austin Jackson, and I'm out of here.